Again, it is good to see you this evening. Thankful for your presence and thankful for the opportunity to share a few thoughts this evening with you. I want to begin. I really appreciate the song. I don't know if Austin knew what I was going to preach about this evening, but that was a perfect song to start with, and I appreciate that so much in particular in doing in dealing with this particular lesson. Excuse me. I want to talk to you about being desensitized to sin. And I want to read from an article that I took out of the Dallas Morning News 20 years ago. When I looked at this and then I realized it had been that long since I took this out, so I want to just simply say things haven't gotten better since then. This is from the from the religious section, if I remember correctly. It's a article entitled "Screensavers: Even R-rated films suggest redeeming messages to believers with eyes to see." Is the introduction to this article, and I just want to quote a couple of things from the article. A Mrs. Ballard or Ms. Ballard says that, or I'm sorry, it isn't Ms. Ballard. It's Bruce Ruggles. Calls an experience of worship, calls it an experience of worship going to the movies. He doesn't often find the taste of eternity he seeks, says Mr. Ruggles, but when he does, the experience can bring tears to his eyes. And then, continuing over in the latter part of the article, he says, sir, I'm not saying a pastor should go see Blade Runner, but they ought to teach us how to read culture. We want people to be involved in culture because Christ revealed himself in culture. Now, I'm not sure where they come up with that idea. Jesus revealed himself in the scriptures. I'm not aware of him revealing himself in culture. He revealed himself through his creation. Absolutely. That's what I see. That's what the scriptures teach. But in culture, I'm not so sure I understand this idea. But he goes on, Christians who separate themselves from the culture because they don't like its unseemly side are behaving in an unbiblical way, he says. Mr. Hutchinson, who cites Jesus and Paul as examples. Now, I'm not sure what this fellow is talking about here either. When I cite Jesus' examples, I would say that he ate with publicans and sinners. That's what the scriptures tell me. It does not tell me that he involved himself in their sinful deeds or their sinful exploits. He reproved them, even with the woman who was taken in adultery in John the 8th chapter. When he says to those who have brought her in their hypocrisy, because they didn't bring the man also, he says to them, whoever who is without sin, let him cast the first stone, and then they all disappear, walk away. In verse 11, he says to her, go and sin no more. But he wasn't the one involved or there when she was committing the adultery, she was brought to him. That's where I see Jesus in all of these things and has his relationship with individuals. He does not approve of what they were doing. He, in fact, encourages them to go on and sin no more. And the gentleman goes on, film is about life, said Dr. Edward McNulty, a Presbyterian minister, from upstate New York, an editor of a magazine called Visional Parables, which deals with religious themes in secular movies. Life has a lot of R and X rated factors in it, but we don't run away from it. We engage in it. And I'm not sure what he's talking about either, because when those gentlemen I work with are engaged in vulgar language, I disengage myself from them. I don't encourage that wording from them. I discourage it. And I believe that's exactly what Jesus would do. And so I really don't understand that perspective. It goes on to say, plenty of other religious people see the prudence and violence coming out of Hollywood as an evil, corrupting force, but to these movie buffs, believers, the graphic nature of movies is acceptable when it is a legitimate part of the story. Yes, there's a lot of vulgar things that take place in life, but I don't have to subject myself to them purposefully. And I don't believe that Jesus would encourage us to do otherwise. And I think what we're going to talk about this evening is a reason that 20 years ago we have religious people in a newspaper saying these kind of things, and it has certainly not gotten better in the 20 years since then. At the time, there was a movie that came out. It was called The Titanic. And a lot of people were calling it a great movie. And that may be the case because I've never seen it. I do know that there was a scene in it, at least this is what I was told anyway. Seeing how I have not seen it, I don't really know for sure. But I understand that there was a scene of a woman posing nude. Well, I find that offensive to my sensibilities and to my understanding of being a Christian man, that I should not be engaged in such things. But that's the kind of thinking that we have, and that's the kind of thing. And that's just one movie out of thousands that are out there, and many even worse probably than this particular movie. It is said that if people can be made to laugh at something, they will eventually accept it. Do you suppose that's why homosexuality and lesbianism and transsexual attitudes have become more acceptable? Because we have laughed at them long enough, now they have become the norm? Certainly something for us to think about. You see, desensitized means to render insensitive. To render insensitive to, or to cause to become non-reactive to, the action of a serum or antitoxin. You go to the dentist and he gives you a shot in your jaw, and your whole side of your face becomes numb, and he can take that drill and he can drill in your tooth and there's no pain, or generally no pain, involved with that. Well, that's what we're talking about. They brand cattle, and that place where the branding iron is put onto the hide of the animal becomes desensitized. The nerve endings are killed there. There's no sensation in those places. That's what we're talking about. In fact, Paul says in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2, he's talking about some individuals. He says, by means of hypocrisy of lies, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Their conscience had become seared. It had become insensitive to certain things. And I'm afraid in our society today, we have become insensitive to a lot of things. How do we become desensitized to sin? How do we do that? How does that happen? Well, it's by the companions we choose to associate with. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, the Apostle Paul says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Those we spend the most time with are going to have the greatest influence upon us. Who do we spend the most time with? Who are we choosing to be our companions? Who are our children choosing to be companions with? Who do we allow them to be companions with? The companions we choose to be with will have an effect on our life and the life that we live. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 13 and verse 20, Proverbs 13 and verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. I'm afraid in my life I've walked with some fools, and the result was I suffered harm from that. Haven't we all at some time or other? There came a time in my life I realized that I needed to stop being a follower and start being the leader. Because following was getting me in way more trouble than I needed to be in. And something needed to change, and that's the thing that needed to change. I need to start leading people in a different direction than following them in the way that they were going. Again, the proverb writer in Proverbs 28 and verse 7 says, he who keeps the law is a discerning son, but he who is a companion to gluttons humiliates his father. Again, in Proverbs, this time in chapter 29 and in verse 3, it says, a man who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but he who keeps company with harlots wastes his wealth. Obvious things that we ought to see. In fact, if you would, flip over to 1 Corinthians 5 and notice with me several verses here of what Paul is saying to these Corinthian brethren. In chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, beginning down at verse 9, 1 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 9, Paul says to them, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. Now, this is the situation in which they had this individual who has taken his father's wife for himself. And Paul is rebuking them for not having corrected this problem in the congregation. He says here, we can't remove ourselves from the world. We're going to have to live in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Absolutely. I may have to live in the world, but I do not have to associate with the things of the world. I can't keep, when I go to Wally World, to Walmart, I've become so accustomed to calling it Wally World, I don't think of anything else. Anyway, it's hard to remove oneself from seeing some unexpected things there because it's just what's going on around us. But when I'm at home, I don't have to do that. I can turn that TV off. I can push the off button. I don't have to allow that into my home. That's what Paul really, in a sense, is talking about. I'd have to go out of the world to avoid everything that exists out there. Jesus isn't calling for us to do that. But we are to be able to judge those things that are within the church. And if someone is in sin in the church, then we have a responsibility to that individual to rebuke that and to clean it out. Unless it become like leaven and leaven the entire congregation, destroy the whole congregation. The idea. We need to be sure that we are not making the world and the things of the world our companion. We also become desensitized to sin by the things that we choose to listen to. We hear things in our daily life. I was telling you this morning that some of the individuals I work with, it's as if they can't communicate without foul language. They can't say a sentence, hardly, it seems like, without some vulgar language coming out of their mouth. They can't communicate. In fact, I was told a long time ago, even when I was a child, that if you can't think of anything in rather than some vulgar word, then you ought to keep your mouth shut because you're going to show your ignorance. Be because you don't have the vocabulary to communicate with people. We ought to be saying those kind of things to individuals, encouraging them to change that kind of language. There's no need for that. I can communicate things that need to be understood without filth and vulgar things spewing out of my mouth. You know, the language and the innuendo that is on many of the TV shows, the magazines that we read, our whole manner of life is being desensitized to this wicked way of communicating. How many people in here have never seen black and white TV? Oh, wow, I'm surprised. I thought maybe there had been a few who had never seen black and white TV. I was just thinking about the idea. We become accustomed to color TV. It'd really be hard to go back to black and white. Well, maybe I should have said, when was the last time you had to get up and you had to move the little button to change the channel? That's why we had children. Yeah, you know, it would be hard to go back to some of those kind of things, wouldn't it? Oh, because we've become accustomed to something else. And it's what we become accustomed to. We become accustomed to foul language. We become accustomed to immodesty and sexual misconduct on a daily basis. And sometimes I think we've got to the point where we think a little won't hurt. Well, Satan is using all of his devices and he is telling us that a little won't hurt. But when you put garbage in, you get garbage out. My computer works fantastic. But it only works fantastic when I put the right information in. If I put the wrong information in, what I get out is not what I intended. If you put garbage into your mind, you're going to get garbage out of it. Your thinking is going to be on those things, is it not? Absolutely it is. We need to hear the word of the Lord. Isaiah 28 and verse 14, therefore hear the word of the Lord, O scoffers. Hear God's word. Listen to it. Jeremiah 13 and verse 15, listen and give heed. Do not be haughty, for the Lord has spoken. We need to hear what God has to say, and we need to be following those things in our lives. We need to make that a part of our life. Well, we're going to watch TV. We ought to be listening to what God says, too, to go along with it, to help us to keep the right frame of mind. Matthew 13. In fact, it might even encourage us to get up and shut it off when some of these things are on there. Matthew 13 and verse 15 says, for the heart of this people has become dull, and their ears, they scarcely hear. They have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with the ears and understand with the heart and return, and I should heal them. The reason the Israelite people were not coming back to God was because they had closed their ears, they had closed their eyes. They had closed their minds to God. And they would not come back so that he could heal them. We need to hear Jesus on the mount. The Father said in Matthew 17 and verse 5, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We need to hear what Jesus has to say. In fact, in Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus says that he had been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus has all authority. There isn't any for anyone else. We need to listen to what he has to say. Children, you need to listen to your moms and dads. Think about what the proverb writer is saying to his son. Over in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1 in particular, notice there verses 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. They will improve your looks, your appearance, because you have listened to what mom and dad have said. Over in chapter 4, in chapter 4 and verse 1, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father and give attention that you may gain understanding. Learn. Learn from your parents. They've got experience in life. They've been through a few ups and downs in life. Listen to what they're saying to you. Listen to what they're telling you. Over in chapter 8, beginning at verse 33. Verse 33, heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. Talking about wisdom. Or over in chapter 19. In chapter 19 and in verse 20. Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Think about this. This is talking about taking discipline. It's being corrected. Appreciate the correction you receive. It will save you a lot of heartache throughout your life. I remember, I think the greatest lesson I ever learned as a child was when my dad never said the first word. I skipped school in the eighth grade. The first time I ever did anything kind of wild and crazy. And that was one of those times when I was following rather than leading. Skip school, walking down Main Street, and the teacher we're skipping school on drives by with two other students, and what do you know? She doesn't miss us. The principal says, for the next 3 weeks, you boys are going to be coming in here to the cafeteria, and you're going to be spending the lunch hour in here, and I'm going to be sending a letter to your parents to tell them about this situation. For the next 3 weeks, every day, I was terrified to be on that bus going home. I could not wait to get back on the bus and leave to go back to school. That was one of the few times in my life I was excited about going to school. One of the things I learned from that, because Dad, and so I don't know whether the principal ever sent the letter or Dad just never said, but that was the worst punishment that I ever had in my life because I punished myself. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to live that way. I shouldn't have done what I did in the first place. I learned to live. I didn't skip school again after that either. It just wouldn't have behooved me to do so. Because if Dad had done something, I would not have appreciated that either. But it was for my good. It was for my benefit. There also in chapter 19, in verse 27, it says, chasten, or cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. You're going to move away from that which will bless you in your life. In Ephesians 6, in verse 2 and 3, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Things that my parents taught me when I was a child have benefited me throughout my entire life. And they continue to benefit me because they taught me in the right ways of the Lord. Think about what Paul's writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1. First of all, things that he is calling to mind here. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 5, he says, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. The faith that Timothy had been encouraged in him by his grandmother and his mother. That's what your parents are working at for you. Notice also over in chapter 3 here as well, in verses 14 and 15, you who, however, talking to Timothy, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Why do your parents send you to Bible class on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights? Why do they talk to you about religious things, read the Bible to you, talk to you about Bible things at home? It's because they want you to be careful to be the kind of person when you grow up that they want you to be. One who's godly and reverencing God in your life and serving Him faithfully. In Colossians 4 and verse 6, Paul writes, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person." If this is the way we are to speak, should we listen to anything different? That gentleman I work with that is so vulgar in his language when he's trying to communicate, and it doesn't matter whether he's talking to a man or a woman, he's vulgar all of the time. I can't even fathom behaving in that way. If I listen to that, if I allow that to sink into my mind, am I not going to repeat those same kind of things? Absolutely. I've got to do something to prevent that from being lodged in my mind, in my thinking. I've got to recognize it's not the behavior that I ought to be emulating in my life. Christ expects something better than that from me. See, what goes in our ears comes out our mouth. Think about it. Think about it. When was the last time you heard some parent say about their little kid who's using a foul word, "Oh, how cute"? Well, the day's coming when it won't be cute. And it's not cute when little Billy is saying those things at 2 years of age. It's not cute. It needs to be stopped. And then, by the way, why would little Billy be saying that if he hasn't heard it somewhere? Oh, it may have not been Mom and Dad. Maybe it was that TV program that he was allowed to watch or to hear. Or maybe it was the neighbor kid, or who knows. But he heard it someplace. And he repeated it. And if you laugh, he thinks it funny, and he's going to keep repeating it, isn't he? We need to remember those kind of things. We don't want that child to become desensitized so early in life to the things that ought not to be. In fact, we don't want him to ever become desensitized to those things. We become desensitized to sin by the things that we choose to watch. You know, there was once a time when knee-length shorts were immodest. Then shorts were immodest. And then it became bikinis and thongs that are immodest. And now I know Christians that would say a one-piece swimsuit is okay, but the others aren't. What changed? What changed? Has all the violence we see in the world and on TV desensitized us to the point that we have no compassion for those suffering? I think some of the video games are so violent that they are causing people to become desensitized to harm being brought upon other individuals. And we really need to think about some of those things. Can I separate the two? Can I separate this is a game and this is real life? Can I separate that, or have I kind of blended the two together? You know, all of the shootings that we hear about, I wonder sometimes if that's not a result of some of that very thing. Or the movies that we see, the violence in the movies. Has all the violence we see in the world and on TV caused us to be desensitized to the point that we don't have compassion for those who are hurt? Just as the ears put things into the mind, so do our eyes. Think about what Jesus again says there in Matthew 5. In Matthew 5 and in verse 29. Well, in fact, back up to verse 28. This is the one that I would tell the fellows I worked with. I would quote this one to them and say, you know, the Lord says this. This is on the Sermon on the Mount. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. Jesus is talking about radical surgery, isn't he? Rip it out. Throw it away from you. Well, he's not literally talking about us ripping our eye out. We ought to be very careful. That's what he's telling us, is we need to be very careful what we're allowing to go into our eyes. Because that becomes a part of who we are. What goes into our ears becomes a part of who we are. Over in Matthew 18 and verse 9. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be cast into the fiery hell. Again, that idea of that radical surgery, removing that from your life, removing that aspect of things from your life. Also in Matthew 6 in verses 22 and 23. Jesus says, the eye is a lamp of the body. If then your eye is clear, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What are we putting in our eyes, through our eyes, into our minds? Now, we talk about little children. They see and they do. That's just what little children do. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, Peter says, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you follow in his steps. We need to follow the kind of life. Our life needs to imitate Jesus' light. Also, in Philippians 4 and verse 9, Paul writes, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. I can see the things that Paul practiced in his life. I can read about them. He wrote them down. I need to practice those same things in my life. You know, the song says, we're the only Bible some people will read. If we are desensitized to these things, will that not blur the reading? It certainly will, friends. How do we keep the things around us from desensitizing us to sin? Ephesians 6 is the answer. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which with it you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. We need to put on the whole armor of God and be ready to defend the truth. To hold on to the truth. Don't allow Satan to get an advantage on you. Don't let him take that advantage and take away from you the opportunity to purify your life and to clean your life up and to remove that wickedness. Going to the movies that are filled with vulgar language and immodesty of all sorts is not going to benefit you. Oh, there might be some good things in it somewhere. But with all of the wickedness that is in it as well, what's the point? I can face all of those things in life on a daily basis without asking for it, demanding it and paying for it, just by living in this world. Isn't that enough? Why invite it into your home? Why invite it into your mind and into your heart? Remove it. Take it away. You know, there isn't any movie, good or bad, that I have to see. There isn't any place in the world that I have to see. Is there? I don't think so. Oh, there are a lot of places I'd like to see. But one of the things that hinders me from going is, first of all, who would I worship with when I got there? And if I can't worship with the people of God on the Lord's Day or sometime during the middle of the week, is it really worth it to me? Is it really that important? I look around me and I see all of God's creation and all the great things He's done and the power that He has to have to be able to just speak and these things come into existence. And I'm awed by His creation. But you know, we were out in the flower bed today. We were planting some new flowers and we're digging in that dirt, and here's an earthworm. These things are awesome. They rival anything that man has ever created. Do I truly appreciate what God has really done for me? He sent His Son to die and to shed His blood on the cross, to suffer a humiliating death, and all the while having the power to stop it at any point in time, and didn't. Because I was valuable to Him. I was important to Him. He wants me to be with Him eternally. He wants the same thing for you. Why? Why would I invite into my heart and into my mind things that will separate me from God? It can't be that important. If your life's not right with God tonight, tonight is your opportunity to change that. We would encourage you to be baptized into Christ and have every sin you have ever committed forgiven, removed. And if you've done that, but your life's not what it should be, or you just simply need some prayers, please come forward as we stand and sing so we might help you in those things.